The WhatsApp message says is what they can do is rebrand the education system where we don't play one against the other from primary school. You assess the children, set up institutions of skill and institutions of academics, and big up both institutions, just like in secondary schools where you have students specialize in the sciences and some in the languages. I have some issues with that because I think the education system should be to educate. I don't like assessing and putting here and putting there because people change. They pick up interests at various points. What we need to do is teach how to learn, how to want to learn, how to acquire knowledge and skills at the same time. I had the good fortune to attend a school in Trinidad where from fifth form you had to do a technical. So they had electronics, they had engineering, and they also had refrigeration in addition to physics, chemistry, etc. You had to do one of the technical subjects. I chose electronics. The guys who wanted to do car racing went, of course, to automotive and souped up their cars and spray painted them because that's what they wanted to do. Whether they actually did anything academic, I'm not sure. But I know they used to spend a lot of time in the mechanics lab. But here's the problem. At that particular school, there was a class called 4S. And when I asked what it was, they tell me that is the people from Carinage and thing that we just got taken. So what S for? Special. What's special about them? That's them people. And I used to hear somebody telling a young gentleman in 4S, go and lift weights so you could get muscles to cut bananas and cane. His name was, it matter what his name was. I became very attached to him. He was a friend of mine. He had muscles too. So he used to defend me when, you know, people wanted to beat me up. But, you know, I don't like it. We keep trying to find ways to segregate our children. We shouldn't. And it's not about bigging it up. It's about understanding what education is. I don't think we understand what language is. Because I said something just now about people saying that drugs in Barbados meant Rocker's Alley. So get them out of there. And the comment online is in there was a mess. It's not drugs. I didn't say that it wasn't a mess. I said people said that that's where drugs in Barbados was. They didn't say it was in the Heights and Terraces. They didn't say it was in church. They say it was in Rocker's Alley. So move them from there. And drugs would disappear. That's what we think. English is so difficult for us to understand. Perhaps we should speak in another tongue. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Hi, all right. And you?
I just making sure that I'm on because I didn't hear a beep or anything like that.
It went, John put you in before the things were finished. I keep telling you, you don't hear the beep when they do that. But you're on.
But unfortunately for Lex and me, I'm not a technical individual. So I have to rely on technology.
Me neither. I just yeah, okay.
It. So you agree with me? You agree with me?
Okay. There will be more storm.
But I hear you retiring soon, so let me thank you for the years that you give me an opportunity to songboard and being a punching bag, even though you don't punch back hard enough. You gotta punch back hard, man. You soft, you know.
Yeah. Very.
No, whenever I call, you see, and a moderator decides that it's their responsibility to talk over me or talk longer than me or talk faster than me, I know that I'm onto something. Whenever a moderator believes that it's their responsibility, sure, their opinion is worth more than mine. Let me tell you, I'm onto something. Female or male, it makes no difference. I have a belief about reparations, and I'm going to stick to it. I don't care how much PhDs these moderators have. There's an opinion that is worthwhile.
Don't attack.
It is worthwhile. I'm sorry.
Don't attack my colleagues.
No. Even my
soft state.
No, I heard you. I had to speak to the Prime Minister 2 weeks ago, and I had everything lined up because I'm going to tell this. I could get this on a piece of my mind, And every time I have to speak to her, it's like, don't worry. Because she's a good-looking woman. And you cannot talk to
a charming woman.
I don't care. You can't do it.
She's a charming woman. Forget about the good looks. They don't need the good looks, you. It's the charm that'll kill you.
I know what it is.
It's the charm that'll kill you.
Charm not charming. Charm not charming.
Yeah. Thou protesteth too much.
I can't say nothing. I even start to stutter.
Good.
Come on, man. I can't do it. If I meet that
moderator.
The moderator yesterday, she has a nice voice and everything. And if I met her in person, chances are I would be the same way. I can't say nothing. I could be like,
that's about the third. That's about the third one we had to confuse you. Go ahead, we're doing well. I could think of two others that had you in the same tie-up.
She's not a Big Ten Christian. I'm glad. You come with that Christian, then you got me in trouble. I will come back at you somehow. Here's the thing. I cannot believe that Barbados would be comfortable paying a crown for the land that they have. They'll pay crown tax, land tax, as opposed to reparations. I can't believe it. You have a choice. If they gave you a choice, are you going to put that money into a reparations bank account so that all the Barbadians, irrespective of color, once you have been influenced in some negative way by this slavery ancestry of ours, can benefit because we have now something called a safety net, and you're going to be jumping off a bridge and for money or prostituting yourself around the garrison, you will can still live because you are not an academic. Academics are the ones who are making big money these days. You can't be a consultant or administrator, but you can still live because the safety net is there. How could that be a problem? Because if I keep those guys comfortable, even though they're not working, even though they're not jumping off a bridge to get money, if I can keep them comfortable knowing that they can at least get a little meal because the reparations tax will be paid to them, reparations as opposed to a crown tax, land tax, I would be comfortable because they would not be breaking into my home. I don't care. You keep them happy. Keep them alive. Maybe they will wake up one day and say, listen, I better get an education even though I'm not gifted in that department. Or they'll probably find a way to get a lawnmower to go and cut people's lawn, which is going to be a very competitive thing at that time. I do not care. When you got 17-year-old boys, and they ain't a man yet, big, muscular people, jumping off a bloody bridge, as it was when it was like, I used to see this thing happening before, when it was young. And that was only like 20 years ago. Jumping off a bridge to get money. But that is so, it's like demeaning. Demeaning. A tourist will throw a coin in the water.
And they die for it.
And you go and die for it. You know, that is more demeaning going up by the garrison and saying, look, I got something for sale. That is demeaning. And I say to the people who think that this profit motive enterprise economy style thing that we got going on here working. It's working for some people, but it's not for all.
So explain.
Because the overwhelming majority of people that leave school in Barbados do not have 4-0 levels.
But explain to me then. Explain to me then, right? If the profit motive does not work, how do drug lords get soldiers?
The profit motive does not work for me. Okay.
Oh, okay. Right. But hold on. Hold on. So here, let's have a conversation.
You can't
give
me that conversation.
No, let's have a conversation. No, hold on a minute now. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Hold on a minute. Let's start with where we agree, and let's see if we could have a conversation. I never liked the hospitality industry when I saw that side of it. People on a tourist boat throwing things in the water, and fellas in the Moses diving and picking it up and holding it up in the air, okay?
God, that's so disgusting.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it when I saw taxi drivers lining up, waiting on a tourist, and
there
I want to take my mother to the hospital, and they tell me, I ain't doing that today. I here waiting on tourists. And they're number 16 in a long line that may never get to the top. I want to take my old lady to the hospital. I can't take her there. I didn't like it. So I agree that if there's a way to stop fellas liming on the block and planning to break in my house or your house or mash up, you know, families and thing.
Even if carrying a fruit from your tree.
Even that.
If you have a safety net that is so good that they can just be on the safety net and live down there, I ain't got a problem with that there.
But sir, the question is, will they want to do it or will they see that as being demeaning as opposed to working for the drug lord or diving for coins?
No, that's right. We deal with that problem if it happens. If that problem persists, then we deal with it. But if you go and deal with the drug lord, you take higher risk, you get higher return. And
you go quicker.
Exactly. You live faster and furious. It's your choice. But the point is, which no is one point. Will have to starve.
But there's some people who don't like to, they don't like to be cared for that way. Because some of them leave their parents' house.
I don't care about them. I do not. I'm not speaking about that group.
Which group are you speaking about?
People.
Which group are you speaking about?
People. I'm thinking about the policy that determines that people do not have to starve. Not in Barbados. They don't have to beg. Not in Barbados. Because people that own land are prepared to pay reparations for the ownership of that land. And that money will go to keep those people off the streets, keep those people in beds, in that guy who got that place, those people who need to be, who are homeless.
Kimara
that
Safi.
Money will go directly to the guys who are jumping off the bridge, so they ain't going to do it, and the guys, the women at Bushell. There will be no need for that. If you want to continue doing that, it's up to you. But once you live in Barbados, because all landowners will be paying reparations, all, bar none, and it's proportionate to the size of the land that you own, because you've owned a piece of property, a piece of a going concern, for which a debt has been attached. I mean, once you buy land, you have to recognize that you are buying a debt, and that debt has to be repaid. And not to no university these neither. That debt has to be repaid to the people, your people, whether they're white, black, or indifferent, who will starve because without it, they have no academic qualifications. I mean, we have inherited some kind of policy, some kind of environment that says if you cannot be a lawyer who don't do nothing about here but make big money, if you can't be somebody who deals with health, or construction, or food, you will starve to death. If you're not part of those four campaigns, you are dead. And we inherited that from the same people who bought that land and had slaves working for it. So if you're doing well in this environment, but then you got debt to pay too. I'm sorry, reparations is not a British responsibility. It's the landowners in Barbados. It's their responsibility. And they have to ensure that there's no more... Nobody's supposed to starve in Barbados. But once you start collecting land tax and put it in the pockets of public servants, of course they're going to starve. That's all I'm saying. Don't pay the public servants. Pay the people to get them off the streets. That's what reparations is for. That is what it's supposed to be about. We have inherited a legacy of cruelty, of nonsense that needs to be corrected. And once you're doing good, that means that you have inherited the good part. Now you should be prepared to pay for the bad as well.
Okay,
what's so difficult with that to understand?
Sir, it is not a matter of difficulty to understand. The problem is, maybe when you get to my age, you will understand that shouting it is what stops people from accepting it. Perhaps if you try to whisper, they will hear. It ain't difficult to understand. There is nothing difficult to understand about what you said. It's the implementation and the shouting that perhaps are the stumbling blocks. Have a good one. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Morning, Dennis.
Hi, brother. How are you?
Pretty good, man. You remember this voice?
I
Dennis is a friend of yours, the Lord Nelson, man, from back in the 20th century.
I know the
you
voice.
You remember when there used to be police calling programs?
I remember it well.
That's right, calling for Lord. 40 years I spent on these programs, really, from 1970 until 2010 when I took a decision to move away, you know? So you see, I finally got Lord Nelson out of Hero Square.
Well, I hope you claim the pedestal he was on when he moves and say, free at last, free at last.
That's right. That's
thank God
right,
Almighty,
right.
He gone at last. Or something like that. I saw a note somewhere online that I kind of agree with that says we should have a monolith there with the names and inscriptions of our national heroes. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That to me strikes a nice chord.
I want to suggest the Prime Minister, the Honorable Mr. Mayor, just before we move him, though, next Monday evening, I want to suggest he should be given a public flogging with the cat of nine tails and then take him away. But Dennis, I heard you talk about...
You all want to do the hero that, though. I mean, could you?
Yeah. I heard you talk about four special at your school.
Yes, sir. There was a four special at my school.
Yeah, we had one down here, too, back in the mid-60s. That's St. Stephen's Primary.
What was special about it?
With your boss and David Ellis and Maxine McKinney and people like that.
You were in four special too?
But in this four special, you would find fellas and girls, boys and girls who didn't know the name, boys and girls who didn't know the left hand from the right hand, boys and girls who didn't know when Christmas was coming, what date it was on, and things like that. But you know, Dennis, what was amazing? There were 40 years, around 40, 45 years later, I went to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital to look for an old aunt of mine who was hospitalized.
Mm-hmm.
And while she was there lying on the bed and I was chatting with her, I felt someone touch me on my shoulder. When I turned around, the guy gave me a hug. It was a doctor. Dennis, would you believe this guy was in four special at St. Stephen's Primary School at age 11 back in around 1965.
Mm-hmm.
And about 45 years later, the man is a doctor at QEH Hospital.
Mm-hmm. So, look, there was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Bertie Graham. May he rest in peace. And Bertie Graham, in an interview that we had with him, said that he still could not recognize a B from a D because he was dyslexic.
And dyslexic,
I think he admitted that he had a twin brother. And I think the twin brother died at one point. But he said that he remembers sitting an exam and the examiner wrote on his paper, "This is a brilliant student. He just needs to learn how to write."
Right.
And Bertie Graham laughed about it. So we stigmatize people.
That's right.
Because, you know, a fella come to school with glasses, we start calling him four eyes and laughing at him.
Right.
So John died with laughter. I don't know why.
We got to start writing off people at age 11.
Yes.
You got to start it. You take it, D.
Okay, you too, buddy. It's a good thing, you know, you didn't harass the fella from four special and slappy behind the head, you know. And you lying in the operating room or something, and the man come over to you and say, well, look at you. Remember when you slapped me behind my head? Well, I have the knife today, so I hope I don't cut out your appendix instead of your tonsils. Because I'm stupid. Yeah, life is like that. Let me try to respond in a manner that I hope this person understands. Person says, how do we deal with stigma? My feeling is stigma decreases when you recognize the value in the child. And if the institution takes those children with skills and highlight them as they do the academic achievers, people over time will start to value them. Again, I don't think so. I may be wrong. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying I don't think so. Surgeons in Barbados don't fix their cars. They take them to a mechanic. The problem is whether the surgeon sees the mechanic as being as valuable as the surgeon is not the issue, you know. It's if the person standing from outside sees a surgeon and a mechanic in the same light. People will wait 2 years to have an operation from a specific surgeon because he's the best in his field. I don't think they wait 2 years for a mechanic to fix their car. They're going to ask him what taking him so long. It's the perception. And you can't change people's minds by institutionalizing and bigging up. That's what I was saying. I am not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying what I think. And I have no problem if you don't agree with what I think. I don't try to convince people that I'm right. I just say what I think. Unfortunately, people see that's trying to get them a wrong to my way of thinking, and it's not that at all. Brass Dax, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Boy, it took me a long time to decide to come in on this because I really was in a relaxing mode.
Sitting it out?
Oh, well. I was in a relaxing mode. But after I heard some conversation just now, it has encouraged me to relieve you of talking so much. I know very well when the call doesn't come in.
I'm glad you know the reason why.
Yeah. And secondly, I am so confused with the statements that I'm hearing. And first, let me start out. We're going to answer and question program between you and me. Now, Nelson will be taken down. Could you tell me, when Nelson is being taken down, what would be the benefit of our people? What would we achieve from that?
I can't answer that question, sir, because I don't speak on behalf of people. I have no idea what it would mean to anybody, except those who express their opinion, either in the newspaper, online or by the calling programs or various things. I don't know.
All right, good. Secondly, now I hear them talking a lot about children, which is more academic than the others. I know of two people from the same community or run a business from the same community. One went to school with me, who is doing very well in a business. Then he left school before me. He has his supermarket, he has his businesses, and he's doing well. I won't consider him as an educational high flyer, because he's not a university graduate also.
That's the measure.
But you know the things that bother me about these people that are always talking about these academics? Is that when you find an ordinary fellow who put what you call his skills into position and made a tremendous stride in developing himself. You know the same academics not crying them down? Because they have some teachers who taught children that today is millionaires, and the teachers are still on the same wavelength, waiting to survive off of a pension. And if I show you certain politicians that were not high flyers at school, but today they're honorable members and such, like, because they were elected by the people.
And?
Now, the other thing that I am concerned about, and this is what really had me down-spirited when I heard some comments yesterday. I am scared about the amount of money the politician is going to give out. You know, that sent me back to the fight that my grandparents fought. It was a time in this country, and I just can't help to watch the social mobility in this country, where our parents had lived on the plantation, working on the plantation, and they did not like the way they were treated by the managers and the owners of the plantation. At election time, they would give out money. And I always remember there was a saying, take the money, eat them out, and vote them out. And to hear that today, where our people is more educated, and I would say independent to such extent, because they're living out, they sell some of them on their own land. And you would believe that today, in 2020, that we would allow politicians to come and throw 200 and two Grantley Adams and a bar in front of them. That our parents rejected, you know, that had less education, living at the plantation owners that was running, and they stood up for something. And after all of this university education, you know the biggest problem, Des. You know what? I just admire you. I have never heard you say you would attend a university in Trinidad.
So I never say any school that I attend except one that I mentioned once in a while, because right. I said before, no school wanted me, so I didn't want any of them. But let me say this to you. Hold on. I ain't bashing university, because I got three university graduates in my house. Three. Okay? Here, let me say this to you.
I'm Kiana.
Sir, here, let me say this to you, okay?
Really?
No, don't. You see, again, once we get into this us and them, once we get into higher and lower, we get into the same problem, that we separate ourselves into these little enclaves. And that's how it's easy to either throw two Grantleys in a barrel, or promise a house, or promise something and get us to go along. Because we always feel that by getting a little something, we get in ahead. And my question is, getting ahead of what? So if we look at Barbados today, right? Let's look at where we are today. Our tourism is non-functioning because of COVID, okay? We have hotels closed. We have people on the breadline, 30,000 getting NIS checks for unemployment. We ain't taking into sick. We're not taking in pension. We're just talking unemployment, 32,000. Is the last figure that I see bandying about. So let's stay there for a minute. What are people suggesting? That the hotels have reasonable staycations for Christmas. So if you don't have a job, and you laid off, and you depending on the NIS, you going on a staycation? At which hotel?
To do what?
Exactly. Because your concern is, can I give my children or the missus or the kepmis or whoever it is anything other than a glass of water and two Eclipse biscuits for breakfast tomorrow morning? Because that's your concern. You got a check for $200. You got a light bill for $150. You got a water bill for $150. You got a telephone bill for
$200. Look,
and your credit card max out. Because you shouldn't have one, but you get one anyhow, so, you know, you use it. So, therefore, two Grantleys and an Arabara to you is a little piece. And you can take it. Now, what you do after you take it is another thing. But, sir, look, you see, buying and selling my people, that been going on for too long. All we're doing is changing the price.
Exactly. Now let me give you an idea about what I used to go through when I was growing up. And I saw it reoccurring in my community here. When I was going to school, we used to gather together to walk from... Now, you know the drawings in Paris are going to Bashi, well, you know that drawings on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
That was the area that we used to meet then to travel to West St. Joseph. At St. Anne's, we had a few that would wait for each other and go to school. I felt so proud these couple of weeks that I am home. I have a granddaughter here now who goes to Holy Innocent. And the other children in the same area would come up and call for her. And they would travel together. That is what we call community spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But when, and it starts from children. Mm-hmm. But when there's in certain areas where three houses are together, one pull out with a motor car, with a child, the other one, they don't see each other, they cannot communicate because they're not together. And if you're not together from growing up, you can't be together when you get at the top. It is hard because somebody going to see themselves as superior to the others. And that is one of the defaults that we have that happening in our society. But you know what hurts me? And again, finish on this. When I was young, going around politics, it came a time that a particular fellow who was involved in managing the campaign came to me one night and said, "No, I was a young Democrat at the time. I want you to go and tape this meeting for me," which will be the Barbados Labour Party meeting. "Dennis, you won't believe what I tell him." And I was young, you know. I asked him, "Wait, your wife could tape the meeting? Your child could take the meeting. Why come to me to have me to take a meeting?" Because that is the way how certain political groups look down on certain people and believe that these are the things that you are there allotted to do. But whenever an election is won and that person becomes somebody in that organization through the same political party, look and see who they got. The wife that ain't going to come out. The child that can't involve in the politics, all them going to be dressed up and going around the dining table. But I that go around now and tape the meeting, they got no use in me, you know. They have achieved what they wanted. And they're begging my poor
sir,
people.
Sir, all right. I know where you're going, so let me pull up the brakes right there, sir. Tomorrow. It's just tomorrow. You got less than 24 hours. Tomorrow. And I get assigned to cover the count. So, I'm going to be in St. George North, somewhere in St. George North, tomorrow. More than likely, socially distanced and wearing a mask. I'm told that we got to take a kind of a strange break today. At 10 minutes to 11, we should have the regional roundup. We track the latest at 5 to 12, sorry. At 10 minutes to 12, we should have the regional roundup. We track the latest. And at noon, we should be joining a team out at the, what is it? A dump, a quarry in Lower Estate.